It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down on the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. It's a great day today, isn't it?
It's a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day.
I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank each of you for listening today. And we have something new today because we know that people call in and ask questions. And so I'm going to put the number out. It's 651-641-1071. But we have a topic this week, today, and our topic is on diabetes. And so if you have questions, let's kind of keep it on blood sugar and questions about diabetes rather than other questions. If that's okay with everyone, we hope that that'll work. So we just want to focus on this topic, you know, because we really do have a great show planned today. And I thought after Thanksgiving feast, we should talk about diabetes and the damage high blood sugars can cause. Did you know that 21 million people in the United States have diabetes? And 54 million people are pre-diabetic. And on the number one cause of type 2 diabetes is sugar and processed carbohydrates. Somehow that seems to be a disconnect for many people with diabetes. And I have a great guest today. I have Wendy Cates Dancer to be our co-host. She is a registered nurse, a nutrition educator, a nutrition counselor, and she teaches lots of our classes on managing the blood sugar roller coaster. You know, she teaches it for special groups such as at nursing homes and other senior groups and for people with diabetes or worried about getting diabetes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And this is just becoming such a huge topic, and it's overwhelming. It's a big, you know, it's kind of like that snowball coming down the mountain here. When we look at this, and we really need to talk about this, Dar, because this is going to impact everyone. It's already impacting everyone. Where we're looking at the fact that someone with diabetes is costing the healthcare companies, the mm-hmm. insurance companies, an average of $14,000 a year.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money mm-hmm. to manage a disease that you and I both know isn't necessary.
It isn't necessary.
But let's talk about type 2 diabetes. It's not just affecting older people. I mean, this used to be called, when I went to nursing school, it was known as adult onset diabetes.
Exactly.
And it's becoming a big problem. We now have teenagers. We have children with type 2 diabetes. And we now have the Center for Disease Control telling us that for every child born after the year 2000, one in three, is going to develop type 2 diabetes.
But they don't have to, do they?
We know that.
That's right.
We know that, but unfortunately, the Center for Disease Control doesn't know that. The people that are pushing the high fructose corn syrup...
They don't know it.
Well, they might know it, but they're definitely not telling us. But anyway, this is huge. It's a huge topic.
So our goal today is to help you connect that the foods that you're eating, you know, to your blood sugars and to high blood sugars, really. You know, many of you know that I have a brother with type 2 diabetes. And if I ate a lot, like a lot of people, I would have probably had type 2 diabetes 20 years ago. But, you know, after spending Thanksgiving Day, because I hosted everyone, and so I had about a little over 30 people at my house for Thanksgiving. And so after spending Thanksgiving Day with my brother that has type 2, I truly understand that he has not grasped the concept that oatmeal or popcorn or pancakes or dinner rolls or French fries turn into sugar or glucose when he eats them. Now, you know, my brother was a former teacher, so I think he has the ability to understand this concept, but...
Well, but we need to start talking about it. I mean, who's talking about it?
I'm talking about it all the time.
We know that we do, and we just expect everyone should know this. But it's not uncommon to miss this basic concept. But I often hear from clients, you just don't understand my cravings, and I really can't stop eating these sugar foods.
Oh, you know what, Wendy? That's one that my brother says very often. I don't understand. I just don't understand his cravings. And I understand because of the way he eats, he certainly does have those cravings. But if he would change the way he was eating to start the day and not insist upon his oatmeal, that perhaps he would not, we know, it's not even perhaps, we know for reality that he wouldn't continue to have those cravings, would he?
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. But we really need to talk about this disease because it is so devastating for people. And like we said before, we know that it's totally preventable.
Yes.
It has everything to do with what you put in your mouth.
You know, and we go around, we're warning people that if they have high blood sugars, you know, they can get kidney disease. Everybody sees this on the list. Or they can go blind. Or they can have nerve damage or have foot problems or develop heart disease. But, you know, still people continue to eat too many processed carbohydrates. They eat crackers. They eat cereal. They eat toast. They eat pie. They eat potato chips. They eat tomato soup, and I think that one surprises people because
how much sugar is in tomato soup?
How much sugar is in, and even in macaroni and cheese. The mac and cheese is high sugar foods. I mean, it's kind of hard to.
Yeah, there's 48 grams of carbohydrates in 1/2 cup of mac and cheese. And how many people do you see sit down and eat 1/2 cup of mac and cheese?
So that's 12 teaspoons of sugar that they're consuming.
Right.
And so it isn't a matter of cravings as much as a lack of education for a lot of people, isn't it?
And realizing how much sugar that we're actually dumping into our bodies. So this is a huge conversation that we're having today.
It is.
And so if you'd like to join us, 651-641-1071. And like Dar said today, we want to really, really focus on diabetes because this is so important for so many people. And as a nurse, I've seen the ramifications of end-stage diabetes, the complications that happen when people have type 2 diabetes, especially if they haven't managed it. And the, you know, the limbs that need to be cut off, the sores that don't heal, the energy that just gets zapped from people.
So, you know, I think as, Wendy, you know, we've got this holiday season coming up and it becomes so important for people to start to realize that, you know, if they're making the caramel corn,
yep,
it's a very high sugar kind of food that they're putting in. If they're, those Chex mixes.
Yes.
Did anyone ever realize that Chex Mixes is basically sugar?
Yeah.
And how about, I mean, there's some of those bars, you know, those Rice Krispie bars.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's marshmallow, sugar, and trans fats, and Rice Krispies, sugar. And
you know, and these Christmas cookies in themselves wouldn't be so bad, but we have, I mean, everything we have is, you know, our orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Yes.
Our skim milk. And our processed cereals and, you know, people that are going to work and having a quart of Mountain Dew and a Kit Kat candy bar for breakfast,
mm-hmm.
you know, and calling that, literally
breakfast.
Calling that breakfast.
Right.
Or having a bag of chips and a package of cookies for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not making this stuff up.
No,
I wish I were. People are doing this.
They certainly are. So then what's happening? What have we noticed that's happening in our...
Well, what's happening, especially on my street, is, you know, at both ends, and my street is only probably 4 miles long, and there's a kidney dialysis center on both ends. So like 4 miles away, these kidney dialysis centers seem to be popping up in many different locations.
I know. And so isn't that interesting that... You just look around and you see, That's the result of probably type 2 diabetes.
And what does a trip to the dialysis center cost? About $10,000 every time people go. They have to go 3 times a week.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yes. Well, we already have some callers,
yes,
so I
we
think
do.
We
so,
should
okay.
See what they have to ask us this morning.
Good morning, Sylvia. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I really enjoy y'all's show. I wanted to mention, though, that I'm losing weight really quickly, and it's from actually eating oatmeal in the morning, but it's unsweetened. I just wanted to point out to people that oatmeal is really good. It's good for heart disease. It doesn't turn to glucose unless you have sweetened, of course.
Well,
if you have sweet oatmeal, well, then that makes a big difference.
Well, actually, Sylvia, when you look at oatmeal and you look at the number of carbohydrates in oatmeal, I agree that it isn't like a dry cereal. That's for sure.
Uh-huh.
But when you totally look at it, and if you stay with a half a cup as what a serving size is, you know, uh-huh. you're probably okay. But most people, when they eat oatmeal, they eat 2 cups.
Well, and, 3/4 cup is actually really good for your heart. It even says right on the Quaker Oats box.
Yeah, I know, but who says that? It's Quaker Oats is saying that. So I think you have to take a look. Again, what we're trying to tell people is take a look at the number of carbohydrates. And then take that number and divide it by 4, and that tells you how many teaspoons of glucose you're putting in your body.
Do you happen to have your box handy, Sylvia, for us?
No, darn it, I'm driving right now.
Oh, okay.
Probably shouldn't even be on the phone.
Well, we won't tell anybody. Be careful. But what we're saying, and certainly when you look at oatmeal, you just need, I mean, that's a kind of, this is how complicated the conversation can get, because you can get some lovely steel-cut oats that have lots of fiber in them, and then if you eat just a half a cup and put some cream
and
you know, have
maybe some
protein
with it or something like that,
and things like that, then you have a wonderful balanced snack. But the more processed the oat grain is, the more readily it turns into sugar. So are you doing the old-fashioned ones?
Yep, I am.
Okay. And so that's,
and that's certainly better than instant.
Yeah. But, you know, if you truly, what we're trying to tell to people, if they are diabetic, they have to be even careful of oatmeal because of the amount of sugar that can turn into. Now, if you keep your serving size very low and you eat a couple of eggs with it with some butter, then you're probably okay. But, you know, you'd probably be better. You'd get more nutrients from a cup of broccoli with the eggs than you would with the oatmeal. So that's what we're trying to talk about, Sylvia. And we're glad that it's working for you and you're keeping the portions low and you probably aren't diabetic. So that makes a difference. So thanks for the call. And, you know, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company providing therapeutic nutrition and to support to people with diabetes. Now, if you have diabetes, I would like to suggest some healthy breakfast ideas. You know, one, something that you can start your day to manage your blood sugars. You know, first of all, start with a serving of protein. You know, it could be a couple of eggs or a couple of ounces of meat. You know, a chicken sausage or some salmon would be a great idea. Add a cup of vegetables and a half a cup of wild rice or a half a cup of sweet potato, and then put some butter on top.
Don't forget the butter.
No. And so when we come back, you know, Wendy's got some ideas to share about lunch ideas. So, you know, again, if you have questions about diabetes, call us at 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse, nutrition counselor, and I'm here with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist, and we are discussing the role that nutrition plays in the prevention of diabetes. Yes, I did say the prevention, because some people believe that everyone will become diabetic as they get older. But the cause is truly the type of food that people are eating. So here are some lunch ideas.
Lunch ideas. Come on.
Lunch ideas. Diabetic prevention lunch ideas. Stop with the Subway sandwiches.
Yes.
Way too much bread, way too many carbs. Or the burger with the big bun and the huge French fries. And start with a large salad. Just put your burger on top of your salad and add some real olive oil dressing and some avocado, and you've got a great diabetic prevention lunch. You have just cut out about 16.
Six.
We said that right. 16 teaspoons of sugar.
That's a lot of sugar.
It is. Or another idea is to make a half of a sandwich with real rye bread, which has lots of fiber in it.
That heavy, hard stuff.
Right. Not the light, fluffy, squishy bread.
That's right.
Add 4 ounces of meat and 1 ounce of cheese, some real mayo and tomatoes, and have a variety of raw veggies plus olives and pickles. Simplify, and these are very not only simple, but satisfying and low-carbohydrate meals, which means low sugar. And we know we have a lot of callers, Dar, so let's get right to our callers.
Hi, Pat. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question today. You're pre-diabetic, is that right?
Yes, I'm a pre-diabetic, and I'm trying your program, Dar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a hard time losing weight, though, and I was wondering if you could give me any help with that.
Well, you know, when you're pre-diabetic, what you are, you're insulin resistant, because you're always insulin resistant first.
Okay.
And for some people, they have to really stay with this kind of lower carb eating, healthy eating for about 3 months before they break through those cells and they become less insulin resistant. And in fact, on Friday, I just had a client like that. She said, you know, I have been working on this for, you know, about 3 or 4 months and now I'm finally losing weight and I just lost a pant size. And it just took her a while to get through that insulin resistance and eating healthy. So just stay with it, and it will happen for you.
Okay. So the main part is it really, you know, like measuring the carb component?
Yes, measuring the carb component.
Yeah.
Keeping that carbs down to, you know, per
minimal meal,
about 25 to 30 at the max, and just stay with that. And for your snacks, you know, about 10 grams of carbohydrates with meat and fat, and that will break through that insulin resistance.
Okay. Is there any exercise part of it that I should add to it too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Exercise really, really helps rev up our metabolism. So that's really, really going to help you burn your calories and reestablish the metabolism that we've probably ruined from the way we've been eating.
Mm-hmm.
I know in my case, when I started working with Dar, it took me 6 months to start losing any weight.
I see.
So but I felt so much better. It was just really worth it staying on the program. But, you know, those cells, your cell membrane is made up of fat and it gets really hard and crusty.
Mm-hmm.
And then things aren't working very well, so we've got to reverse that process. So exercise would help a great deal.
And it helps to reduce that insulin resistance when you exercise.
Mm.
And the more muscle that you can build on your body,
absolutely,
the better your metabolism is going to work. But, you know, it's a process, and it takes some time. But since you've been eating better, do you feel better?
Yes.
Okay. Well, see, that's
and
what's going to...
craving. I'm not having the big craving.
Yes.
Perfect.
And that's what's going to keep you going, Pat. So... Okay. Keep going.
All right.
Yep. Thank you.
That's a great call.
Yes, it is.
You know, everybody wants to lose weight right away, and we have to do some healing first often.
So we have
another caller?
Yes, we are. We actually have another Pat on.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us? Hi, Pat.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Dar, if I don't take my little snack before I go to bed, I am type 2 diabetes. If I don't take my little snack before I go to bed, it is my blood sugar registers higher in the morning because I've missed that snack. What has happened there?
Well, your snack is basically you're eating some kind of meat, right?
I'm eating about a half a cup of half a cup of non-fat milk, and I do, which you are not happy with, but I do have a half a slice of bread with peanut butter on it.
Okay. Well, I think the peanut butter is keeping your blood sugar down.
Okay.
And fat makes your blood sugar stay more normal so that it doesn't go up in the middle of the night like it usually does for most people. And so that is actually, the fat acts as a buffer to keep your blood sugar down. And so it's the fat.
So when I'm missing that snack, that makes it go.
Yep, your liver is excreting the sugar in the middle of the night, and it has no buffering factor if you don't eat the peanut butter.
Right, because it's in the morning without the snack, it's like 1:58, and if I have that little snack with the milk, skim milk, it's always below 100. So, and I thought, this is strange.
It's actually the peanut butter. It's the peanut butter that's keeping your blood sugar down.
Yep.
Okay.
So, hey, that's great. Great information for the listeners today.
Okay.
Thank
you so much. I got to have that snack.
Yep.
Yes, you do, Pat.
All right.
Everybody that's pre-diabetic or diabetic needs a snack.
So we need to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. You know, a company specializing in nutrition education. You know, many of my clients tell us, you know, during that first appointment, Wendy, you know this, you know, they come in and they say, I know what to eat. I just don't do it. You know, surprisingly, a lot of people are still practicing that 1950s nutrition, which was low fat, high carbohydrate. You know, they eat the bagel, no butter, but jelly. And they have when they go in for their annual physical, you know, their doctor says, hey, you are now diabetic. So maybe that bagel and jelly just is not working. So stay tuned, because Wendy has more healthy snack ideas for managing your blood sugar. So questions about diabetes, 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm actually teaching a class January 19th called Managing the Blood Sugar Roller Coaster at the White Bear office, and that's a Monday evening. It's from 6:30 to 8:30, and I would call today to sign up because we have limited space available in our White Bear office. The number to sign up is 651-699-3438, and that would be a great Christmas present for somebody that has prediabetes or diabetes, or you're worried about them getting diabetes. Now, some ideas for snacks. Make a little salmon salad with real mayonnaise and put it on some sliced tomatoes. No crackers, because crackers are considered a high sugar food. That's very surprising to some people. Or many people enjoy a hard-boiled egg. There's your protein, a half an apple dipped in real peanut butter. The fat is what really helps us balance our blood sugar.
Yes, and we have lots of callers, so we're going to just take a few here. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call, and thanks for being there.
Thank you.
I went away from eating multigrain Cheerios and Yoplait yogurt to a Greek strain yogurt that I have now, and I made my own granola.
And sounds great. How are you making your granola?
Well, I make it with honey and butter.
Okay.
The last time I made it, it made like 40 cups, and I had about a cup of honey and a stick of butter. I have old-fashioned oats, steel-cut oats, oat bran, millet, pumpkin seeds, almonds, walnuts, coconut, and dried fruits.
Sounds like if you limit the amount of granola that you're using in your Greek yogurt, it's probably a pretty good balanced kind of breakfast snack or whatever you're using it for.
I do use it for breakfast, yeah. And I eat it with a cup of whatever berries I might have frozen in my freezer.
Okay. Now,
And Greek yogurt has quite a bit of fat and quite a bit of protein and is lower in carbs, so
yes,
that should work fairly well.
Yeah. So,
okay.
I think everyone that's listening, they have to realize that if it may work for you and it may not, it just depends on, by the time you get a cup of honey in there, how much real sugar you have. And for some people, that still might be
that
too
might
high.
Be.
But for you, it probably works great, and it sounds like it tastes great. So,
okay.
Good.
Let's just give people our formula for figuring out how much sugar is in things. What you want to do, Jenny, is you want to take, and you handmade this, so it might be difficult, but you want to look at the total, not just the sugar, but the total amount of carbs in whatever the package says, be it your mac and cheese or your cereal, even the oatmeal.
Yep.
The total amount of carbs minus the fiber, and then you want to divide that by 4. For every 4 grams of carbohydrates, that turns into 1 teaspoon of sugar in your bloodstream.
Okay.
So when we've done this with people in class, they're very, very surprised to find out that even Healthy Heart cereal or Smart Start cereal has like 11 and 13 teaspoons of sugar per serving.
Wow.
So then just combine your honey and everything and then see what you end up with for the amount of carbohydrates. And I think what you're aiming for is to maybe 25 to 30, depending on how active you are. And there that would be a good range for a breakfast carbohydrate level.
Okay.
Okay? Great, Jenny. Right. Thanks for the call.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
So
I love.
I'm going to take Chris, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question?
Yes, I have a 9-year-old son who was newly diagnosed with type 1 diabetes,
mm-hmm.
and he's in his honeymoon period, so he is still producing insulin.
Yes.
And he's a very active boy. So basically, we just give him his Lantus once a day, and with his meals, we try to be careful with the amount of carbohydrates he takes.
Okay, that sounds great.
But what I'm wondering is, for children, it's different than adults, and for growth, how many carbohydrates does he need?
One of the things, before I even answer that question,
okay.
I think, you know, do you know where his type 1 diabetes came from?
It is genetic.
Okay.
My brother has it.
Okay. So then what I would look at, if it's genetic, then one of the leading causes of that is a gluten sensitivity, because that's causing that autoimmune type 1 diabetes.
Okay.
And that's why, you know, we've got about 30% of the population now that have gluten sensitivities, and the type 1 diabetes in children has increased tremendously. And so it's going back to that autoimmune. So
okay.
I think one of the first things that you might want to make sure you're doing is having him on a gluten-free diet, because you might be able to keep that pancreas working as it is now, and you might be able to reverse that. So I think that would be the first thing to do.
Now, one thing, they did check him at the hospital with the blood test.
And you know what? Those are 90% inaccurate.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they're only 10% accurate. So that's not a good sign. I think you have to look at, it's a genetic factor. It's not coming from a bacteria or a virus. It's coming from an autoimmune disease, and the leading cause of that would be a gluten sensitivity.
Interesting.
You know, so, especially since you said he, you know, his pancreas is still producing insulin,
and
so that's wonderful. So let's, if you can, don't destroy any more of those cells. If we can get gluten out of his diet, I think there's a good chance that he can save the rest of the cells.
So you know, you really might want to make an appointment with one of our nutritionists, because we kind of specialize in gluten.
Sensitivity, or eating gluten-free.
And I think with a child, you kind of need some help and hints on how to do that.
Right.
And stay healthy and also balance out the blood sugar and keep his pancreas working as well as possible.
Well, since he's been younger, he's had hypoglycemia.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So
not surprising.
I don't know if that's related also.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely it is.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So a great question. And, you know, I think that's the first step to take. So, you know, come in and make an appointment and a 2-hour appointment, and we really probably can help you out a lot.
And so let me just give her our number.
Okay.
It's 651-699-3438.
So, you know what?
Is it time for break already?
It is, yep.
Okey-doke.
So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, you know, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition. Higher than normal blood sugars have the potential to damage nerves, and it's particularly those nerve endings, you know, and which can end up resulting in diabetic neuropathy. So if you have kind of burning, tingling, painful feet, you know, right after the break, we're going to talk about some natural solutions to reduce these symptoms of diabetic neuropathy, and we'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Before we went to break, we were discussing diabetic neuropathy, which is actually a deterioration of your nerve endings that causes a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort, burning and tingling, often in your feet, when the high blood sugars have damaged those nerve endings. First of all, we would recommend some omega-3 fish oils, at least 3 to 4 soft gels per day. Then to stop additional free radical damage, we would recommend some good cod liver oil with vitamin A. And, of course, your vitamin D levels must be up there, too. So you can have those checked at your doctor. And you want to add 2,000 to 4,000 units, I use, of vitamin D, which is usually needed in Minnesota during the winter months.
So the next thing that I would say is the next step would be to add some additional antioxidants, you know, vitamin E, vitamin C, CoQ10, and perhaps one of the most powerful antioxidants for diabetic neuropathy is alpha-lipoic acid. You know, researchers have found that people taking 600 milligrams of alpha-lipoic acid per day had a significant reduction of diabetic neuropathy symptoms, which is good.
That is wonderful. Because I know that the drugs that we give for that cause lots of other really bad symptoms, and most people can't even tolerate them because they upset their stomach and digestive system so bad. So one of the important factors about alpha-lipoic acid, though, is that it's a wonderful supplement. Just make sure you get a good quality and not one from China.
Exactly. And, you know, we've really found that the alpha-lipoic acid that is coming from China actually is manufactured, and they use a toxic chemical with it. And so you got to make sure that you're buying good quality
supplements.
Yes.
So we have more calls. So
yes, we do. Hi, Margaret. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hello.
Hello there. You have a question for us today?
Yes, let's see. Well, I was tested for low blood sugar in my 20s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I definitely have it. And now I'm 60, and I was at the doctor about 6 months ago and had a physical, and she said I was pre-diabetic.
Okay. So that means
101 or something.
Okay. So you're meaning that your blood sugars are going up. And you're starting to get that insulin resistance.
Right.
And so what are you going to do about it?
Well, my husband just went on Atkins about 4 weeks ago, so I am thinking about doing that.
Well, I think one of the things that you might want to think about is look at, kind of examine where you're eating too many carbohydrates. Just look around. What?
You know, it's this holiday stuff. I mean, there's no excuse for it. But all I've had is sugar today.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, you just can't do that if you're pre-diabetic. Yeah. And I think that's what you have to make that decision, is you can't eat that way any longer. And honestly, it's not good for anyone.
No.
But, you know, just start now. Don't say, I'm going to start tomorrow. Start right now and change and eat a balanced snack. Or a balanced lunch, because it's just 1 o'clock.
Right.
So get some vegetables, get some meat, get some good fat, and get your blood sugar balanced out right now.
Right.
And then in the afternoon, maybe about 4 o'clock, do a balanced snack, because then you're going to be eating a decent dinner tonight. And you're.
What I like for a balanced snack is that almond butter and an apple.
Okay, that's fine. And, you know, you might today add a little bit of protein, like a couple of slices of turkey to it, and it'll actually do a little bit better, won't it, Wendy?
Yeah, leftover turkey.
Yep.
Let's use it. It's good. Yeah, so the protein, and that's your meat, and the carbohydrates, that's your fruit and your vegetables, and then your fat, butter,
but
nuts.
Isn't almond butter protein, too?
No, it isn't.
It's
actually
mostly fat.
It's a great fat.
Really?
And so you're doing great with that. But
yep.
Then, you know, just... You know, and so that's a great thing for fat. And your apples
are
great carbohydrate.
And then the other thing is you want to be eating about every 2.5 to 3 hours, something in balance. That keeps your blood sugar balanced perfectly and is going to help you reverse that insulin resistance.
And
so, Margaret, what I want you to do today is start this right now.
Okay.
And then I want you to call in next week, because Wendy and I will be back.
Oh,
we're
going to
be talking about
we?
Fibromyalgia, but let us know how
that's
worked.
I have fibromyalgia and arthritis as well.
Okay, well, call us
next weekend
and start this. Get back on eating real food and
good food,
and you'll feel so much better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So thanks for the call.
I think I'm addicted to sugar.
Yep.
Well, you might need more education too. So jump into our class that we're having in January, and I think that's a lot of times what most people need.
Yep.
And it's time for break, isn't
it? Yes,
it
is. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. And I want to alert you to a class Saturday, December 13th. It's called Eat, Drink, and Stay Slim. You know, outsmart your scale with real holiday nutrition. The class will be from 9:30 to 11:30 Saturday, December 13th. And it's in Wayzata, so call Hannah today. The number there is 952-345-0766. You know, bring the whole family. Let's make it a family affair. And it may actually be the best holiday present you can give yourself. So we'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. We've been having a conversation about diabetes today, and in the 1980s, there were 10 million diabetic people. Today, there are 20 million diabetic people. We know it is not a genetic problem. It's a food problem. It is as simple as picking food that is too high in sugar and too high in carbohydrates that's causing this increase in diabetes.
So here's some ideas. Rather than having popcorn as a snack, you know, have a handful of nuts. Rather than eating trail mix with raisins and M&Ms, just have a variety of nuts. Rather than having a bowl of chips, have deviled eggs and olives. And rather than having a plate of pasta, have a steak and a salad with real dressing. Doesn't that sound
great?
Sounds
absolutely wonderful.
You know, it does. You know, let's face it, most sweetness, for most people, sweetness attracts us to food.
And more sweetness. Usually it's more sugar. Sugar will increase your desire for anything it is put on. That is why the processed food industry thrives today, because sugar is put in everything. High fructose corn syrup makes toxic, refined foods actually taste good. Isn't that horrible?
It is. You know,
give me some. Give me some toxic food.
Yeah, and that's how they, you know, it's sugar kind of bribes the body, and high fructose corn syrup really bribes the body. It says, hey, look, this tastes good. And the body goes along for the ride, taking in junk that it wouldn't otherwise take in.
Right. It probably tastes more like cardboard board. So I think we all know eating sugar or processed carbohydrates makes us want to eat more sugar and more processed carbohydrates.
So most diabetic clients have an understanding that their A1C blood test should be what, Wendy?
It needs to be under 6.
Under 6. And their fasting blood sugar, I think that varies all the time.
Yeah, it does.
But basically, 110 or...
Under 110, yep.
Or, you know, and even 1.5. But then what happens is they know this intellectually, but then the cravings get it's in the way.
Yep, they do. Part of the brain tells them if they eat processed carbs and their blood sugar goes up, they will be damaging their cells, which could result in hearing loss, nerve damage in their feet. So when they step down from a curb, they have no feeling and lose their balance. But the other part says, I need sugar. So oftentimes, too often, the cravings win out.
Exactly. So again, we always say, is it cravings or is it just lack of education? You know, how many people understand that both beer and popcorn or beer and pizza,
which most people do together.
Yep. That's a double dose of sugar.
Or how many people really understand a glass of juice contains 10 teaspoons of sugar and 2 cups of cereal contains 20 teaspoons of sugar?
Or a bowl of tomato soup has 12 teaspoons of sugar, or 2 small pieces of pizza has 50 grams of carbohydrates, or 12 and a half teaspoons
of sugar. Eating sugar and processed carbs for a diabetic is is like hitting yourself in the head with a baseball bat. The less you do it, the better you feel, we promise.
So remember, food can be the problem or it can, we believe, be the solution.
And we want it to be the solution.
Yes.
So put down that baseball bat. Stop hitting yourself in the head.
Thank you for listening.